This Bible talk, titled All Sons of God, is on Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 to chapter 4, verse 7. It's the fifth sermon in our series Rescue on the letter to the Galatians, and it was given at Rabena on Sunday the 13th of March 2022.
I asked her why she stopped coming. Judy told me that she felt like she didn't belong. It's not something that a pastor wants to hear. We want everyone to feel welcome at church. But Judy said no one talked to her. She said that there was no one here my own age. People just carried on their own conversations. I wasn't included or invited to be a part of any of them. So I just stood in the foyer and felt lonely. I felt like I didn't belong. Do you know what it feels like to be a Judy? It's heartbreaking, isn't it? All alone in a room full of people. When I asked him how his first year at high school was going, Robbie just started to cry. All the other kids pick on me, he told me. I'm not as tall as the rest of them. I smiled knowingly. They pushed me and they tease me. Even worse, they sometimes just ignore me. Robbie wants to try another high school. Every morning he tries on the I'm sick routine with his parents, but mum and dad aren't listening. Robbie feels like no one's listening to him. He feels like he doesn't belong anywhere. Do you know what it feels like to be Robbie? Clinton feels like he doesn't belong anywhere as well. And he's felt this way all of his life. He left his homeland because it wasn't safe, but his adopted land isn't that safe either. His English isn't the best. He misses word plays and he doesn't understand sarcasm. He speaks with a thick accent. People often point that out to him in conversation. Sometimes they even try to imitate his accent, which they think is funny. Clinton just feels mocked by them. He hears people saying stop the boats and that refugees aren't welcome. But that's how he arrived here in this country. Ironically, it's how most Australians arrived here too. Do you know how Clinton feels? Do you know what rejection feels like? Treated differently because you're different. Rejected by a close friend, outcast from a whole community, neglected by a parent, deserted by a lover, betrayed by a friend, knocked back, turned away, singled out, overlooked. Do you know what that's like? Do you know what it's like to be an outsider? Do you know how it feels to be a stranger? If you've ever felt this way, and even if you feel this way right now, I want to say to you this morning, friend, welcome. You've found a place where you can belong. You see, all of us are here together because we all share in common, or because of what we share in common, and what we share in common we now want to share with you. We're in the book of Galatians together, friends. It's a series called Rescue because that's what God has done for all of us. God has rescued us. But there are trouble in the churches of Galatia. There's a division over their differences. Peter, the apostle, has been redrawing lines of demarcation. He's been rebuilding walls that Christ demolished. The Galatian church was a picture of gospel unity, but it's been relegated to religious uniformity. Those who are different are treated differently unless they decide to fall into line and become the same as everyone else. You see, some Jews from Jerusalem were saying, they were insisting that Gentiles become Jews in order to become Christians. Gentiles need to observe Jewish customs, they said. Gentiles need to obey Jewish laws, they insisted. But the good news of the gospel is that God no longer shows favoritism. God no longer has favorites. That's why the gospel is such good news for everyone. God's word, not man's opinion, is what matters most. But in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 to 4, verse 7, Paul says, the old age is over. Old distinctions and old divisions are now out of date. Belonging comes by believing. Through faith, we're united by what we share in common. And what we share in common is that we are all one in Christ Jesus. By faith, we belong to God. God's acceptance of us comes through faith. By faith, we all share the same Father. Won't you see that with me? Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Know then that those it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. If we believe the gospel, if we believe what we've heard from God, then we're all the children of Abraham. We all share the same father together. Abraham is the father of our faith. So whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, male and female, doesn't matter anymore. What matters is believing in the good news. Our differences don't make any difference. God's acceptance comes by faith. His blessings come through believing in him. What matters is faith in God's promises. What matters is believing in the good news. Accepting that we are God's children comes through accepting the good news that we are God's children. You see, well in advance of the law, long before there was this thing called circumcision, God spoke good news to us through Abraham. All nations means everyone. Here's what he said, all nations will be blessed through you. Not one blessed nation anymore, Israel, but all nations now blessed, including those in Australia. God spoke these promises to Abraham, and Abraham believed God's promises to him. Won't you see it with me? Chapter 3, verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham was accepted by God because he accepted what God promised him. Justified or credited as righteousness means accepted. God's acceptance of Abraham is through faith. So it's not surprising then, it's the same for us as well. Chapter 3, verse 5. Does he who supply the Spirit to you and work miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Like Father, like Son. Belonging to God comes through faith. You see, there's no differences anymore. The old distinctions of religion have been removed. If we believe what God promised us, we're like Abraham. We're Abraham's promised children. The beneficiaries of all of God's promises are now marked by God's seal of ownership of us. What's the seal of God's ownership of us? The indwelling of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the sign that we now belong to God. The children who've received the inheritance, we are the kids who've been guaranteed the new creation. Circumcision, friends, is only ever skin deep. But God's Spirit lives deeply within us. And so differences of appearance, they don't make any difference anymore. The only thing that matters is faith in Jesus. And so if we're all God's children because we trust in God's promises, then doesn't it stand to reason that all of us are equal with one another? Well, let me say it again. If we all share the same Father, then we all belong to the same family. Look there, chapter 3, verse 26. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You see what it's saying? No favorites. No differences. All equal. All the same. All one in Christ Jesus. We all put our feet under the same table. We don't do separate meal times in God's family. You see, the divisions that once separated us, the things that make us think that we're more special than others, more important, more favoured, more faithful, more right, more holy, the comparisons that we make with each other, the standards that we hold others against, The scales that we use to measure faithfulness, the basis of our judgment against others, even the way that we measure our own success and the way that we measure our own failures are all gone. All finished, all done. Are you listening? Are you ready for this? Are you willing to accept this? All one in Christ Jesus. The old distinctions of religion are removed. Our differences no longer make any difference. Ethnic backgrounds, Jew or Gentile, social class, slave or free, gender differences, male and female, make no difference whatsoever in the determination of who the children of Abraham are. We all belong to God by faith. But how can we be in Christ and be of Abraham? How does verse 26 fit with verse 7? Well, obviously, friends, the answer is found in verse 16, isn't it? Verse 16. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. The gospel, the good news that was promised in advance to Abraham about his promise, is the promise of offspring who is named Jesus. Jesus is the one true child of Abraham. Jesus is the good news of this gospel. Even that God calls this a promise should be enough for all of us to work out that this is a gift from God, not something that we do. We belong by our believing, not by our doing. You see, it's about status, not about service. Israel didn't obey the law. Only Jesus lived in faithful obedience. The law excluded the Gentiles from faith. Only Jesus trusted God. But Jesus is the promised seed of Abraham. By faith in him, we can now receive God's promises. When we have faith in Christ, we belong to Abraham. The seed of Abraham will bless the nations, all nations blessed through Jesus. See it again. Look at what it says, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. When we have faith in Christ, we belong to Christ and we belong to each other. All one in Christ Jesus. All of us together are God's children by faith in Christ. Friends, how's this for a vision? The answer to the world's biggest problems: racism, ageism, disability, discrimination, bigotry, misogyny, I'm sure you can name some more. All of our struggles with ethnicity, class, and inequality find their ultimate answer in the church. Equality is found in only one man named Jesus and found in only one place, the church. God's answers to the problems of the world is the church. The church? God's plan for the world is the church. The church is his new creation community. You see, if you believe in Christ, you believe in the church. It's not an optional extra. If you're in Christ, you're a member of his body. The church is the body of Christ. Our commitment to him is expressed by our commitment to one another. Friends, this isn't radical theology. This is straight up orthodoxy. Even the Apostles' Creed declares it. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. But if the church is God's answers to the world, then maybe we should start asking different questions. The church seems to create more problems than it provides answers, don't you think? We tend to keep ourselves distant from the church, keep our affiliation casual. Broken, frail, fragile, dysfunctional, and disappointing. God wants all of us to belong together. You see, we are his people. We are the people of the new age, the people of the resurrection. We belong to the new creation. And while I'm sure this raises more questions for many of you than it provides answers, I want you to see that oneness doesn't mean the same thing as sameness. And while we wait for the fullness of the ages to come, equality doesn't mean the removal of all of our differences. God creates and gifts each of us differently. In fact, our differences in the body should be celebrated and enjoyed, not enslaved by fluidity and neutrality. Our God-given differences means we're created for different things, different tasks within his body. But we are all one in Christ Jesus. And so if God no longer shows favoritism, why do we? Why do we expect to receive favoritism? Don't all of us think that we're a little bit special? That we should get an exemption? That we deserve an extension? We expect God to show us favoritism, don't we? We expect others to show partiality towards us. Listen carefully now, friends. All one in Christ Jesus. Don't you see, this is where you belong. These are your people. Take a good look at them. Seriously, look around at you this morning. These are your people. Don't have any friends? You do now. If you don't have any family, we're your new creation family. Don't like any members of your current family? Let us be the family that you never had. Don't like some of the members of this family? Let's work out our differences together in Christ. Jesus has made us belong to him. We are all sons of God. But it's not our work that makes us sons of God. It's the work of the Son of God for us that makes us sons. Jesus makes the difference. Jesus removes the old distinctions. Only the Son can make you a son. Look there, chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. That set time has fully come. God has sent his Son. The purpose of the law has reached its fulfillment. The law held all of us captive. We were all locked up under the old covenant. Under the law, chapter 3, verse 32. Under a curse, chapter 3, verse 10. Under sin, chapter 3, verse 22. Under a guardian, chapter 3, verse 25. Under the elements of the world, chapter 4, verse 3. But now the time has fully come. Jesus, born of a woman, was fully human. He lived during the reign of the law. Christ was born under the law. His death brings an end to all of its commands and demands because he bore the condemnation and curse of our sin. He liberates us from the curse of the law. He sets us free from the power of sin. Christ's work is redemptive. It's restorative, recreative. Christ publicly betrayed as crucified for you to free you from the law, to free you for holy adoption. None of God's children are naturally born. Only the legitimate Son makes us legitimate children. All of us adopted into Christ's family, all of us born again. If you've been adopted into God's family, friend, if that's you, then you are a child of God. And we know we're God's children because his Spirit confirms it within our hearts. The Spirit confirms that God is our Father. God, who sent his Spirit, sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts so that we can call God our Father. See that there, chapter 4, verse 6. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You see what this is saying? From being out in the cold, under sin's curse, to metaphorically sitting on the couch for a cuddle with the Creator. That close. From being rightful recipients of his eternal judgment to being inheritors of his everlasting salvation. From slaves and sinners to sons and daughters. We are the children of the new creation inheritance. The Spirit of God confirms it within me. I am a child of God. God's Spirit bears witness within me. I belong to Christ. Friends, welcome home. You've found a place where you can belong. Jesus makes his home in you. He is making his home within us here at Salt Church. Because God gives you his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, you can have confidence about your adoption. We've been adopted into intimacy. By his Spirit, we call God Abba Father. So intimate is that relationship that even Jesus called God Abba Father. Abba is the Aramaic word for father, which has nothing to do with Mamma Mia, but everything to do with your belonging. This is the relationship we now have with God. This is the relationship that God wants to have with you. And our intimacy with God grows and develops only as we learn to accept God's acceptance of us. When we deeply accept that God accepts us as his children, we are able to accept others despite their differences. Believing that God wants us, loves us, forgives us, knows us, calls us, accepting our adoption as his children is what makes all the difference in belonging to this, his new family. Will you pray with me? Father, it's so often very easy for us to sit here week after week and build up our knowledge, to know more about the Bible, to know more about how it fits together, to know more about Scripture and more about you, and yet so difficult for us to believe it deep within our hearts. While we want to say that we believe in your Son and that we have become your children, it's hard for us to believe these things deeply within us, in places where we've been hurt, in places where we've been broken and betrayed and neglected and lost. It's hard in those places to hear your call and adoption of us as your sons. And in a world that's so broken and fragile, it's hard for us to believe that we will inherit anything, much less your kingdom. And so today, Lord Jesus, this morning, just now, would you allow your Spirit within us to confirm our calling? Would you enable your Spirit to help us to know once more that we are your children and to accept deeply in all of these places that we are yours? And in so doing, would you help us to move towards one another, to love one another despite our differences, to accept others even though they are different from us, because you love us, Lord Jesus, and you accept us. Help us to love and accept others. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.